Well, it all started with the demolition of the old wooden stand, the main stand at King's Home in 2007, in order to make way for the fine edifice that we have there by way of a stadium. And as that was knocked down, it was found in the bowels of the old stand that people had put boxes over the years of material that I guess they didn't want cluttering up their offices. And anyway, fortunately, that didn't disappear into the skip, but Gary Little from the club went round to see the archives and, cut a long story short, that resulted in 31 boxes of material going round to the archives. And out of that, it was decided that an archive specifically on the rugby club should be formed. And out of that grew this project, which really has two parts. One is all of the material that comes across from the rugby club. And the second part is inviting the public to contribute to this archive. And I'm glad to say we've had a very good response to that. We've now had donations from 38 different people into the archive.
Well, of course, I spoke to both you, Malcolm, and John earlier in the year when we traced my own family connections with Gloucester Rugby Club and discovered four members of my family that actually played for the club in years past, which was a surprise. That was about 6 months ago. How have things developed since then?
One of the most important things, of course, for a project like this is funding. And we've been very fortunate in that we've had four partners in the project: the Heritage Lottery Fund, who have provided most of the funding to date, but also Gloucestershire Archives, the Friends of the Gloucestershire Archives, and the Rugby Club itself, all of whom have pitched in money and effort to the project. That Heritage Lottery Fund money will fund the project for the first 3 years, so just over a year still to go of those 3 years. And of course we've been wondering about what do we do thereafter, because one of the rules is we can't go back and ask for more lottery money. And I'm delighted to say that recently Ecclesiastical Insurance have stepped forward and have agreed to sponsor the project initially for a two-year period. So the future looks rosy too. One of the areas we've developed a lot in recent months is the website. You'll find a lot more material on the website now. One of the pleasing things has been the amount that that website is being used. Since we went public just at the end of last year, we've had almost 17,000 people visit the site. The most popular parts of the website have proved to be the player profiles and the interviews that we've been doing, mostly of former players.
Well, I know one important aspect of the project has been the role of volunteers, because it's predominantly volunteers, isn't it, that have been involved in the project.
Yes, that's right. Although we do have professional help from both the rugby club and the archives, most of this project is being handled by volunteers. Mm. Yeah.
And in the last 6 months, the number of volunteers has greatly increased to the point where we're up to, I think, 16 volunteers now.
And I know one volunteer we're going to speak to in just a couple of moments is from a bit further away than Gloucester.
Yes, somewhat unusual. Most of our volunteers are in the Gloucester area, or at least in Gloucestershire. But yes, we have David. One of the items I said we've got on the website are our interviews. We wanted also to deposit copies of these interviews in the archives, but the archives wanted not only the recordings on CDs, but transcriptions of the recordings that people could read. We asked if they had a volunteer who could help with that, and they came up with David Halliday, who lives in Australia, who came over here a few years ago to do his family history research and found Gloucestershire Archives very helpful and kindly offered to do work for them if he could.
We can now speak to David Halliday, who is in Australia. David, first of all, before we find out how you got involved with the project, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an ex-POM, lived in Australia now since 73, parent, grandparent. I have two rugby fanatic sons, one of whom could well end up playing representative football, so of course therefore I'm interested in rugby clubs. My family come from Gloucestershire, going way back, and that gave me the interest and the contact with Gloucester Archives, and through them I finally ended up somehow working on this project. My great-grandfather was a travelling butcher and sold things off the back of a horse and cart. He was something like an Arthur Daly of his day, and he was the one who lived in Nailsworth. Gloucester Archives were so helpful to me each time I came to their offices over the year that I felt I ought to volunteer to put something back. So for some of the various archival team there over the last, goodness knows what, probably 5 years now, I've done various transcription projects. Somehow the rugby club got to hear of some of the recording transcription projects I did for a previous project for Paul Evans at the archives, and asked me if I was prepared to have a go at deciphering Gloucester accents from rugby players of a variety of ages. I'm very mindful of the fact that I'm doing this not only for the rugby club but also for the archives, and whoever reads it in the archives is never possibly going to have heard the recording and has got to understand the hard copy as it stands. It's made it a very interesting challenge. Each interview probably takes 4 or 5 hours of time to do.